America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Golic. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Golic. That's netsuite.com/Golic.
Glad you're with us on a Friday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. And we've been talking a lot lately about the power of college players, football players specifically, and understanding the platforms that they have. And we've certainly seen that change, Junior, you alluded to, so quickly over a short period of time just from when you were playing.
Yeah, it just was never a way that college athletics was structured when I was there. You never felt like as a player that there was really an opportunity. And obviously the way that media access is set up for college players, it all lends itself to largely muted voices.
Yeah, and that is no longer the case.
No, it is not.
So for more on this, we're delighted to be joined now by Florida State head football coach Mike Norvell, who joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Coach, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate your time. How has your sort of relationship with your best player, Marvin Wilson, sort of evolved after the discussions about whether or not you sent out an email or texted to every player and he sort of posted something on Instagram and then you guys came together and had a meeting? How has that all played out?
I think it's actually gone really well. One situation has really sparked an opportunity for more open discussion. And that morning we were able to get together as a football team and we're able to have a chance for everybody to speak and everybody be in one place. Obviously that's been one of the great challenges with COVID, going on, is that we haven't had a chance to be face to face or around our guys, and the way that we communicate, it's different. It's different than any time before in college football. And so, but to have that opportunity to stand in front of my team, to be able to hear their voice, their concerns, to be able to express, myself, our coaches, everybody that, that's a part of our organization, I thought it was an incredible moment. And we've definitely built from that. And I think we've grown much closer.
Well, what more did come from that meeting by like actionable things going forward?
Absolutely. That's something that we were able to discuss as a team of what we wanted our actions to be. We talked to our guys a lot about their platform, and I think players now are realizing the power that they have as much as at any time before in college football history. And I want to help encourage them to express their voice, for them to be able to express the emotions, the feelings, but to always think about the way that they present it, and then more importantly, what are the actions that are going to follow. And so that was part of that meeting. There were things that as a coaching staff that we believed were important, and there were things that we wanted to hear from our players of the actions that they wanted to have. And we've basically made a commitment that every person on our football team and a part of our organization was going to be registered to vote. We've basically put things in place to make sure that we're providing guys with education, whether they're registered to vote, locally or at their home in their hometown, to get a better understanding of all the positions, not just one spot of government, but to help educate them through that process. We had a young man, a junior defensive line, Corey Durden, that really took the initiative in leadership, organizing a unity walk where we invited all of Tallahassee out this this past Sunday, and it was a great event that we were able to do together. And now we've also had things in place here for the very near future of helping impact the some of the community of Tallahassee, and some of the kids in the elementary schools and different things that we can continue to be more involved to help education and help them provide more resources and better development to help kids understand the importance of the opportunity that we have. And so it's been fun as a coach and as a leader of this team to see our guys really putting forth more action than just what they can say or what they can tweet. It's the importance of every action that we have really being the best example of our platform.
Talking to Mike Norvell, Florida State's head football coach, with us here on Golic and Wingo. And coach, he had a ton of success as a coordinator, had a ton of success at Memphis during your time there as the head coach. And now you come here, and this is a hell of a way to start, obviously, having to address as much as you have between the pandemic and certainly this as it's come up. I'm curious, especially on this front, because it was one of your players, challenging you very publicly on this, and you said it led to so many great conversations. What have you specifically taken from or maybe learned from this as far as how you go forward now as the coach for this team in this program?
Well, I think with that specific event, with Marvin, when he put out the tweet, and the first reaction that in just human nature is every person wants to defend themselves, and at that moment, I got up that morning and saw the tweet, and obviously there's things and how they were taken, and I immediately realized that I didn't do a good enough job being clear with each word that I used. And I made a statement of going back and forth with every player. If I would have finished the statement with every player that chose to respond, then that would have been a more accurate statement. And so for me, it was really a better understanding of, accepting the fault, accepting and realizing that, if I have to do a better job in being, clear in each statement that I make, and making sure that as I'm doing my job, that understanding what I represent, who I represent. And it's also a great lesson for everybody to make sure that we understand the impact that we have. And so it's been a really good experience for me. I mean, like I said, it's been great for our team, and we're all looking to grow and be the best version of ourselves as we're moving forward through this process.
So that's one thing that you've been dealing with, as Mike Norvell, the Florida State head football coach, joins us. One thing that every coach is dealing with now is how to deal with the pandemic, how to deal with working with your athletes, and especially when we see so many places, there's been a couple at Florida State, many more at schools like Texas and Houston, where you've had a couple of positive tests when these athletes are back on campus. Mike, we all want football to be played. We all believe it is going to be played, but there are real obstacles that are sort of in the way right now. We're all trying to meander our way through this the best way possible to get to the point where you're going to have 70, 80 guys on the field at one time. How is Florida State approaching that?
That's one thing that I'm so very grateful for our administration and all the work that's gone into our planning of and procedures and bringing our guys back to campus and being able to see that implemented day in and day out. It is a tremendous sacrifice. There's been a lot of work that's gone into it, but to see that play out every day, to provide our guys with facilities to work out in, and to making sure we're doing everything that we can to keep them safe. And we've had a minimal test that came back positive throughout the process, but being able to have that plan in place and for our guys, players, coaches, everybody involved to follow those procedures is that's controlling the things that we can control. And nobody knows what the future is going to hold, but if we can all do our part in following the procedures to put ourselves in the best position, then I'm very hopeful for what's to come here in the future.
Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State, and then there's coach actual football that's going to need to be played. You're taking over a team that had back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 75-76, an offense that didn't put up nearly the numbers that you put up in Memphis, where you were only behind Oklahoma and Ohio State over the last few seasons. So And now you didn't even get, most head coaches love to come in and get going right away seeing their players. You couldn't even do that because of the pandemic going on. Everything has been a Zoom meeting. So how difficult has this been for you before you even get to lay eyes on these players?
Oh, it's definitely been a challenge, but it's something that we're excited about. And, you know, our winter conditioning program, I thought went incredible. The growth that we saw from our players, you know, we're truly challenging these guys in all aspects, on the field, off the field, in the classroom, just to be the best version of them. And, we saw some tremendous growth physically, academically. We had our best semester in program history, with our team GPA, we were only able to get three practices on the field. So there was a lot of learning and, you know, understanding that these guys are all basically learning a new language and new expectations. But I really, really like this football team. I like the coaches that I get to work with each and every day, the players. I can tell you that they're passionate to be successful, and, we're excited about the process moving forward. I mean, I think they've done a wonderful job in our Zoom meeting. And we've tried to be as organized and detailed as possible to help them along the process. But we're definitely excited about getting back on the practice field for our guys to showcase what they can do. And we're going to have to do a wonderful job of coaches being able to evaluate their skills and their talents so we can put them in the best position to achieve success.
And we'll see how that plays out going forward. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you, guys. Go Noles.
Thanks, Coach. Listen, he's from a football standpoint, he's got his work cut out for him. Yeah. I mean, that team has been struggling last 2 years, averaging about, 25 points a game, giving up almost 30 points a game. He's used to a high-powered offense, and that hasn't been anything but at Florida State. And then, as he said, three practices with them in the spring before they had to stop that. So you're already playing. We talked about that in the NFL with really new and or first-time head coaches not being able to be with players. They get dealing with college kids in that same kind of scenario.
Yeah, it's had to be tremendously frustrating. And we talked about at the beginning of this, Marvin Wilson, the guys on defense, because there was a ton of talent on those defenses the last couple of years. You saw the way that group was able to perform at time, but the offensive line for Florida State's been a disaster for the last couple of years. That getting that to trend in a better direction, and parts of the way that Mike Norvell runs their offense there was certainly at Memphis based large part around a ground game that featured a ton of really talented backs that are playing NFL football right now, and a line that came off with bad intentions. So trying to reestablish that foundation at Florida State is going to go a long way in, you know, laying the foundation for hopefully future success for this team.
Well, look, if they're trying to improve the offense, they might have hired the right guy. If you look at the numbers for Mike Norvell at Memphis.
Crazy.
Since 2016, Memphis ranked in the top four in points per game, yards per game, and yards per play. Only Oklahoma and Ohio State average more points per game than Mike Norvell at Memphis. Again, it was Oklahoma at 45.5 the last three seasons, Ohio State at 43, and Memphis and Alabama at 42.2. Now, we understand there's different levels. If you're looking for someone to bring the juice on the offensive side of the ball, Mike Norvell would be that guy.
If you watch Memphis, that team could play ball. I don't care. Yeah, you know, group of five, whatever you want. That team could play ball. They did it fundamentally.
Had a lot of draft picks the last few years.
The offense was creative. It was all those things. But this, what just happened, and that's why I was curious to get his answer on what he took from this, because that level of accountability, especially when you've got a new head coach coming in and a new staff here, the one thing that every team preaches is accountability to a man across the board. I have to know that when you make a mistake, you're going to own up to it, and so that I feel comfortable enough to do that when it comes to me. And that creates, that's the culture thing everyone talks about. If your head coach has the ability like that to stand up and say, I have to do a better job with the way that I go about communicating things. I have to do a better job of making sure that I'm careful with every word because I set the tone around here. Having accountability like that in front of your team goes a long way, even when you can't be on the field with each other, of making sure you understand where everyone stands in that relationship.
Yeah, it's huge. So again, especially when none of those players were the ones that he recruited.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is Marvin Wilson, the best interior D lineman for the draft next year, and a guy I think got most of his skills from when I coached him in the Under Armour All-American game his senior year in high school. Okay, I'm kidding.
Said no
but wanted to come back and play for Norvell. So, you know, that says something there, and they obviously it started off not very well there, but it certainly seems to be working well at this point. And as all the colleges are – really kind of underway, or just about all of them at least, in bringing some players back in the off-season program, we are starting to see the one part of this, the COVID part, rear its ugly head. Is now in Texas, 13 players have tested positive, four or more have tested positive for the antibody as well, and they've had to sequester some other staff as well for this. So, you know, we saw Houston shut down their voluntary program when six went. I haven't heard that in Texas. Everybody is different in how they're going to deal with it.
And again,
it.
With Houston, remember, they didn't test everybody when they got back.
Unbelievable.
Like, I want to make sure that we sort of section off Houston as its own case of what in the hell were you thinking? Because by not doing that, they open themselves up to a lot of the variables. And we mentioned in this situation with football, it is going to be about eliminating as many of the variables as you can, what you can control, because there's going to be so much you can't.
The key word for football is going to be mitigation, right? You're going to hear that a lot. We have to mitigate as much as we can. And clearly, as you said, Houston didn't test everybody. There was not a lot of mitigation.
No. I guess we shouldn't be too shocked, because remember, when these players are first coming, I'm talking about where they test the players, when they're first testing and when they come back, they're coming back from all over the country.
Yeah.
So, Even if a team is waiting, you know, to come in later, they're still coming in from all over the country. So you're going to get those positive tests like that. And then it's going to be, how do you going forward once they work through that, get better from that. And then, when they start to hang out on campus and go to different spots.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked so much in basketball about the bubble, and we heard Dr. Fauci come out yesterday and say if football, the NFL specifically, can't operate in a bubble format, you're going to have a difficult time in his mind having a season. For college, you've basically got a bunch of small bubbles right now because these campus environments are so heavily regulated and controlled, especially with the general student population. We're not sure how many places are going to have full-time classes back on campus, how many students are all going to be back on there at once. But in general, those areas, and with college athletes, the way the schedules you have with class and the allotment of their time, you can keep a lot more control over where people go. There's still a chance you're going to go off campus. You're going to be around the general student body. You're going to be around the town. But it's not as free-flowing as, let's say, the NFL, where guys go home to their families, their lives, their own separate versions of this. And so college is going to be very interesting until the travel and interaction starts with how much they're able to keep control of, provided they're testing and doing the right things.
Yeah, so that's all for this coming season and what it's going to look like. Meanwhile, there's some interesting news about some other seasons that will be coming up a few years down the road, and they involve Alabama and Ohio State.
How about
they've scheduled
that?
A home-and-home football series between the Crimson Tide and the Buckeyes. They'll meet in Columbus during the 2027 season, with Ohio State returning the trip to Alabama in 2028. These two have not met since the 2015 college football playoff semis, when Ohio State, powered by Ezekiel Elliott, upset Alabama 42-35. Ohio State will go into the national championship that year.
Neither or both. Ryan Day and Nick Saban are both still coaching the team.
Nick's going to be there. Nick's going to be there haunting me until the end of time.
Then I think they're both going to be there.
You think they're both going to be there?
I think Ryan Day's...
You don't think he's destined for the NFL?
Well...
Yeah, Ryan's the interesting one just because he's got some of that NFL to his background, because a young-ish coach like that at one of the premier jobs in college football, you'd think there'd be no incentive for him to leave.
Correct.
If he's on that Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban progression of, I'm going to just put up my posts in the college game.
I mean, there are very few places where you could say, yeah, I'm good for life here.
Yeah.
And that could be the situation in Columbus with
Ryan. But he is younger. He may want to take that jump kind of like Nick did, to the NFL, test yourself at the highest level. You know, even though we've seen, obviously, if you stay, there are plenty of college coaches that have been there forever and it's gone quite well.
It's going to be him and Lincoln Riley that people talk about almost every year as the guy ready, especially, you know, we've seen Lincoln do it at the highest level, a couple of Heisman Trophy winners, another in Jalen who was a finalist this last year, being able to take all of those different types of quarterbacks and put them in a situation to showcase their skills. Ryan Day, if Justin Fields has another year like he did last year, peak efficiency, being able to do it in so many different ways for that offense, it's only going to continue to add interest.
And then there's maybe a bowl game either one of these two teams could be playing in.
It's certainly not the ones they'd want to be.
No. You know, these bowl games change sponsors all the time.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, there is a Big Ten tie into this one. So Ohio State's got a shot if they play their cards wrong.
Mike, you and I have both in our college careers been to bowl games, and you get that gift bag at these bowl games and things you can get. How about in your gift bag there's some mayonnaise.
Man, I tell you what, Bull sponsorships are some of the best things on planet Earth. As someone who has called a Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, rest in peace, I believe that sponsorship is should.
Yeah, I know. Didn't they race
as well.
Mowers at that one?
Lawnmower race.
The phenomenal.
Event had two just big bleeping mowers on the side of the field in the end zones by
what
all
could
this.
Pool and Weed Eater Bowl was always a favorite. Stuff.
And so pour one out for the bowl game formerly known as the Belk Bowl, Best Bowl, the elite Twitter handle in college football bowl lore. Now, the Duke's Mayo Bowl taking place in Charlotte. And I got to say, this has led me to something I wasn't expecting because I am very excited. They put out a great rollout yesterday with Luke Kuechly going out there and making what I see. This is my lack of cultural awareness. I was not aware that in the Carolinas and in that general area that the tomato and mayo sandwich was a thing, that was a delicacy that people dined on. I had no – I was yesterday many days old.
Tomato, mayo, a little salt and pepper.
And they brought people in to make sure from Duke's that Luke was going to properly dress this because while he has become a Carolinian by his affiliation with the Panthers, he is a Cincinnati native by birth.
So in college,
all of those different things led to the most shocking revelation of this morning. Trey Wingo doesn't like mayonnaise.
I want to be clear. I don't like mayonnaise. I detest mayonnaise.
You detest.
I abhor mayonnaise.
And
it's
mustard.
It's Satan's spawn.
And mustard.
Yeah, mustard's pretty bad too.
I am a fan of mayonnaise. I like mayonnaise. I have dipped my French fries in mayonnaise. Oh yeah.
Ugh. So you know what it is? It's the consistency. And God bless the folks over at Banner Society and the great work that they've always done in pointing out that more bowl games should be kind of like the Cheez-It Bowl, pouring out Gatorade buckets full of whatever whatever the title sponsor's kind of chief MO is on this one. And they pointed out yesterday, I saw a number point out that this is the prophecy getting ready to be fulfilled. A Gatorade cooler full of mayonnaise being dumped on the winning coach.
I can think of honestly nothing worse. And it's nothing against the specific mayonnaise you're referring to.
The fine folks at Duke's.
Yes, I'm sure they're wonderful. They curate the best mayonnaise. I'm sure they do. If there is such a thing. I just...
I'm
that is my hellscape being doused by mayonnaise.
I'm gonna put this as delicately as I can for mayonnaise, and you know what, this might be again another delineation of maybe more south than what I'm about to say. Mayonnaise is largely lauded as one of the whiter condiments on planet Earth, and
That's fair.
Is someone who exudes whiteness out of almost every pore of his body. I'm shocked that this marriage isn't one that was fruitful.
You don't know anything about me.
Apparently not. Apparently not. Golic and Wingo's presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com.
I mean, seriously, would you be okay with a tub of mayonnaise being dumped on you?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
If it was cold outside, it could be refreshing.
And just in case you were wondering, Trey, because I know you were, I believe this is the latest, or I know at one point, I think it is still now, Guinness World Record holder in 3 minutes ate 3.5 jars of mayonnaise.
I think she should be the halftime show.
Yeah.
We should give her a chance to get to 4 jars.
Absolutely right. Michelle Lesko.
You got to do
Michelle
Lesko. I'm feeling nauseous.
Michelle Lesko, let's get her to 4 jars.
I have a video if you want to watch
it.
No,
I'm good. Thank you.
We're going to take care of that.
More than fine.
We're going to take care of that in the break. But coming up, if you're missing betting on sports like Trey is missing mayo, we have the answer for you.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense. There are sports that are going on right now.
And one this weekend.
Including, we have the final leg of the Triple Crown. Oh, no.
Scratch
okay,
that.
That's right. It's the first leg of the Triple Crown this year, the Belmont. To help us talk about that is our good buddy Mike Tirico. Mike, I mean, let me ask you first off, Mike. We have a new bowl game out, the Duke Mayonnaise Bowl. Do you like mayonnaise?
I heard. I don't dislike it, but I don't use it a lot. I'm far more of a ketchup and mustard guy. I'd say in the individual priority list of those condiments, it would be ketchup, mustard, mayo.
Team Tirico.
So you'll never be in a mayonnaise eating contest.
I will not. I'm kind of with Wingo here a little bit, although I'm not as opposed to it as Trey seems to be. But it's ketchup. Yeah, my family flips out on me. I'm a ketchup on the eggs guy. You know, like scrambled eggs,
all
egg whites.
I'm
good for some ketchup there, and my family is just like, "What do you do?" Yeah, so it's a joke every morning. If we have eggs in the house, like, "Hey, anybody want some ketchup?" All right, Dad, great, go away. Yeah.
You eat it as a not at this table. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the eggs going forward with Mike Tirico. But Mike, it is going to be weird, right? Because normally the Belmont is the last leg of the Triple Crown. It is the longest one. It is the one that is absolutely the hardest one to get through with the other races you've already run. And now not only is it the first one this year, it's actually way shorter than it normally is.
Yeah, last to first in terms of the Triple Crown and longest at a mile and a half normally. To shortest at a mile and an eighth. Look, everything's different. People are already asking, "Tis the Law is the horse that people need to know about and watch." Jerry Bailey, Hall of Fame jockey, our analyst with Randy Moss on the set as we do the show. Jerry thinks Tis the Law has been the best three-year-old all the way through. So if Tis the Law wins this race, then has 77 days to try and win the Kentucky Derby, and then goes on to win the Preakness a month after that, if all are run on time, that's where they're scheduled. Does that horse become a Triple Crown horse with a large asterisk, small, medium? Look, everything in sports in 2020 is going to be altered and different and unique. So this is what it is. The accomplishment, if it happens, would be something to talk about. But to me, guys, this is the first of the classics, the American classics, that are back on the sports calendar. It's really the first big event in sports that we'll see that's one of those longtime traditionals, and this is the 152nd Belmont. Since NBA All-Star Weekend, when we had NBA All-Star and Daytona 500 on the same day. Since then, we've had golf come back. We've had NASCAR. We've had IndyCar come back. But not with their biggest events. This is one of the three biggest in the sport. So it's nice to have one of the classics back back on our sports calendar.
But it is interesting, Mike, because you brought up the potential asterisks there. And if we have a baseball season, you know, what happens if someone hits 400 during a 65-game season? I mean, you're really going to have to look at these things completely differently.
See, that's different. See, here you're still running the three races, albeit the Belmont is a mile and an eighth compared to a mile and a half. The time frame between the three races or amongst the three races, excuse me, is a little bit different. In baseball, none of this could ever be looked at historically in the context of the same season, of the same record. So it's seasonal RBIs, average, all that stuff. This is crazy what's going to be happening with baseball, however they end up at 50, 60, 70 games, if they can figure that out here. And they're also backing themselves into going up against the basketball and the hockey playoffs. Remember, when we jump back into the NBA and the NHL, if that stays on track, we're going to jump into the deep end. We're going to jump into great action with these two sports. Baseball is just going to be meandering through this quick season with overloaded playoffs and an asterisk. I think we're all really disappointed they haven't been able to figure it out sooner.
Certainly, I think we can all and have all echoed that sentiment around here. We talked to Mike Tirico with us here on Golic and Wingo. And you mentioned some of the other sports it could potentially be butting up against. We know football has certainly been one of those. But we heard the comments the other day in reference to baseball and then the NFL from Dr. Anthony Fauci, the infectious disease doctor that's been leading us all through this, saying that if football doesn't operate by some sort of bubble protocol, they'll have a difficult time finishing the season. What do you make of that, Mike?
Yeah, you know, Dr. Fauci knows a heck of a lot more than any of us regarding this, right? It's nice to hear from him again, and I wish we could hear more from the experts in all of this so we can help understand it and help keep ourselves safe going forward. You know what, Mike? You guys have all done interviews, and I was doing a show on NBCSN every day for 10 weeks or so just to kind of fill the time in between here. And it feels like every interview was, well, if this happens, none of us ever dropped the if, like this is going to happen. We're going to get back to sports. So we don't know. So all these plans are in place for basketball and for hockey and all this. But will it come off? To this point, everything has come off as planned with golf and with NASCAR and the one IndyCar race. And Belmont looks like it'll do the same tomorrow. But we don't know if there's going to be a big stop sign that gets thrown into this. How about this? I mean, have we talked about What if these series of positive tests come after that NBA season is restarted down there in Orlando? What happens? What happens if three guys test positive during a playoff series and you're down 2-1 in a best of seven? How does that play out? All those things are definite what-ifs that are a little bit closer to reality than some of the what-ifs we throw out. So to get ahead and be thinking football, we know exactly what it's going to look like, is crazy for all of us to think right now. I think we've got a lot of answers between now and then. And for both college and pro football, guys, I think how things go with hockey and basketball is going to be a huge answer to how far they're going to be able to take this in terms of getting the season started.
I know everybody has their plans for testing, but it seems like there's going to be a whole lot of finger crossing and hope that goes along with this as well. Mike, we obviously could talk to you forever, but let's finish on the Belmont. Let's finish with the most important thing. I want to make some money. So where am I going in this one? I don't want to go with the favorite. Give me something, a horse that's going to make me something.
Well, I mean, Mike, I mean, you got your dog sitting there that's not moving at all, right? So hopefully the horse or two that we can give you will be a little more active than the dog. but I'm jealous because it's nice to have a dog that'll just sit there and hang with you. I do like Tiz the Wise. Jerry Bailey has put on our radar for our calls and our conversation regarding this. Barkley Tags, longtime New York trainer, Manny Franco, the jockey. This will be really the biggest day of his career, a chance to win one of the Triple Crown races, one of the classics for the first time. And it's all the folks, the ownership group that was with Funnyside. If you might remember back in the day when Funnyside won the Derby in 2003, the whole big group showed up from upstate New York around Saratoga in a school bus. And they became famous for that. If you want to put Tiz the Law with somebody to get a little bit of action going there, I'm going to give you Dr. Post. It's not a big number, but Todd Pletcher usually does such a good job preparing horses for the Belmont as a trainer, usually when it's a mile and a half. I did go to the track yesterday, spent a minute or so there. Todd really likes Dr. Post. So if you want to involve Tiz the Law, Dr. Post, and maybe a third horse there, maybe I can get your dog off the couch for you to go cash the check.
I would like that. Okay, now we're talking.
You are shouldering way too much responsibility now, Mike, and I just want you to know that I appreciate it.
And just know if it doesn't happen that way, I'm going to come look for you, my friend.
I got a quick question. Most important thing to watch the show. How old are the slippers on your feet?
Oh, man. Listen, they are older than the pug sitting next to me. Hank is going to be 10. These slippers probably are double that age.
I was going to say triple it. But either way, and they don't smell great, Mike. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm sure they don't. Is there anything greater than you can buy nice new slippers? There's nothing like your old broken down pair of slippers. Maybe one of the great things of being at home for all this time is realizing how special the relationship is with an old, smelly, broken down pair of slippers.
These will never leave my feet.
There you go. They might be welded on at this point. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. It is great to talk to you. We'll look forward to seeing you this weekend at the Belmont. Have a blast, okay?
Same here, boys. Great to catch up with you. Stay good.
Thanks, Mike. It was amazing. It's normally, I think, 35 days between these races.
Yeah.
This year, it's like 105.
It's just, I mean if there's a Triple Crown winner, people in horsing are going to go, yeah, but. It's
you know who doesn't know?
Yeah.
The horse. They just get fed and then.
That's exactly
put
right.
Put out the stud.
If you're good enough.
All right.
Coming up, why the NBA's bubble could be very problematic for one team. We'll get to that.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Love it or shove it. You ready?
Everything has nuance. Nothing happens in black and white. See, Bubba's gonna hate me again, but I think there's nuance here. You guys have to embrace the nuance in life. Oh, wait, hold on. There's two questions there. Life is not black and white. It's mostly gray.
Just answer the question.
No. Well, which one do you want me to answer?
Or shove it. Shoving it.
No, you're loving that. You're loving the statement.
You love it or shove it. It's a statement, and then you love it or shove it. This is the first time playing.
No, it's not, and it should probably be the last time playing.
Yet you still do it.
You missing basketball? Tune in tomorrow night for an NBA Classic Game 7 of the 2010 Finals between the Lakers and Celtics, presented by the Home Depot. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. Phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And then we have a recurring spot for our guy, Bubba.
Yeah.
We're going to love things and shove things. Bubba! You ready? We're
always,
ready.
Always.
I'm shoving that. There's no reason to get rid of him. He has no leverage.
I'm going
to
shove that too. I don't think he would sit out the entire season for this. I do not think so, and I actually don't think he's going to get paid either, so I think he plays under this contract, but I shove it.
I'm going to shove it, especially for this year. The Cowboys would be fun to think about, but they've got Dak's contract still hanging out there. I know Jamal said for some of these better teams, there was a thought that he might not demand a new contract right away if he were traded one of these spots, but too many moving parts that don't make sense for right now. Going to shove that one. Bubba?
All right, the 76ers will be eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. Love it or shove it.
So as it sits right now, and it very well could change because some teams are very close, they would play Boston in the first round. But again, that could change with the regular season games that they have left. My opinion, if they play Boston, they're going to lose in the first round. So I'll just go on that. I know they've had time to heal, which has been a good thing for them there. But I think I will love this and say they will lose in the first round.
Yeah, I'll love this too. I was pretty high on Boston's young core when we talked about that many moons ago on the show. So I'll try and be somewhat consistent in that regard. But I also look at this, and a lot gets made of the 76ers' road winning percentage being so much worse than what they do at home. I don't think any of the home and road split stuff is going to apply to what goes on in Orlando. And so I am going to I'm going to love this one.
I'm
going to
shove it because I think the Sixers are sneaky going to be a lot better than people think. They're getting healthy. They were beat up. They're going to be healthy. They'll be ready to roll. And I had an assistant coach tell me that team is made for the postseason.
Bubba?
All right. I would ask Cliff, but he's a fake Philly fan. And
Wow.
Love it or shove it. It's Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. Back to the NFL. The Titans will regret signing Ryan Tannehill to a 4-year, $118 million contract with 91 guaranteed. Love it or shove it.
I think I'm going to love this one. I mean, he's a guy that basically they didn't have him doing anything, especially in the postseason, except handing the ball off. I mean, he's not counted on to be the guy to say, let's put the teams on his shoulders and carry him. They do it in other ways, which is fine. They've proven they can still win that way, but that's a heck of a lot of money for that, for what you're expecting from him.
I'm going to shove this one. I think that getting him in that spot, because relative to what your other options were, people talked about them in the Tom Brady sweepstakes potentially in all of this, however real that was or wasn't. I think that Ryan Tannehill is certainly going to come back down to earth some. I think he had more of a impact on their offense last year that was great in play action, that threw more early and downs to help that run game that it probably gets credit for. So I'll shove this. I think they're going to end up not, you know, I don't think it's going to be celebrated. It's not going to be the greatest deal the Titans have ever done, but regret, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to regret it, and I think they'll find a way out of it if it doesn't go very quickly. I think you had to do it. I mean, at some point, you have to respond. Your team needs to see, hey, you're going to take care of the players that were there for you, and he certainly changed that offense in the regular season, not as much in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a Jimmy Garoppolo drop-off in the postseason.
Wow.
Just call it what it is.
Well, they just didn't let him throw.
Bubba.
All right, if the NFL did have a bubble, the Dallas Metroplex would be the best place for it. Love it or shove it.
You know, I know we talk about Vegas because the hotels are all right there together and you could put a lot of people in them, but you got to play, have different places to play. From that respect, Dallas, because high school football is so big out there and those high school stadiums are incredible and there's a lot of them. I would just be interesting about places to play. So, I would love that.
Trey?
If there was a bubble, I think the DFW area would be perfect. You have the Star, Jerry World, High School Stadium, TCU, SMU, the Cotton Bowl, the Toyota Stadium where Dallas FC played, but it's just not going to happen.
I gotta shove it. Vegas, smaller footprint. You remember, a bubble, you mean to control things. The DFW area, much too large to control in the ways you'd need to. Take it home, Bubba.
All right, that was Love It or Shove It, and it was brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists, always ready to answer any question. Call or visit Grainger.com.
All right, Bubba.
Well done,
thank
Bubba.
You. By the way, shout out to Jason Kokrak, PGA Tour player, who's just texted us. He's watching the show. So there you go.
All right, there you go.
He was enthralled by your slippers.
You're doing shot in a while. Who wouldn't be?
They
are so broken in.
They.
Let me tell you what. They can look on whatever. They're comfortable, and
that's all that matters. Coming up, One Sports City is taking the lead on setting the conversation in sports and social justice. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, and ESPN2.